I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Baseball's not boring. Thank you to everyone who's been leaving nice reviews, rating, reviewing, subscribing, most importantly, listening. Thank you for everybody who's participating. So it's been a good run over a month now. So we appreciate everybody who has joined our little family at Baseball's and Boring, getting bigger by the day. And it's only going to get bigger because news is coming out. The hot stove is heating up, no pun intended, and things are just getting more interesting. November, a little bit of a lull, a lot of rumors, and then when the rumors lead to actually nothing, then you have to sort of like, okay, come on, let's go. What's going to happen? There's no deadline like the NBA, the NFL, the NHL for trade deadlines. We need something to happen. There's a smattering of stuff, but we need more. And we're about to get it. I feel like we're about to get the winter meetings coming up. We'll be there at the winter meetings. Baseball Isn't Boring. I will be there. I will be representing the fine organization. But we're getting a little bit of more heat, I guess. I get the most recent item that is circulating through Major League Baseball, Andy Martino of SNY, is reporting that the Rays are actually showing interest in Jacob DeGrom. All right, well, do we think the Rays are going to get Jacob DeGrom? No, we don't. But it's fun to look at that they're actually showing interest in him, along with the Mets, Yankees, Rangers. So there you go. Carlos Rodon, he's supposed to meet with the Mets. Another big name starting pitcher. Maybe there's going to be a run on those guys. Speaking of run on those guys, well, we want to find out exactly what's what in terms of the here and the now. Like you said, not a lot has happened, but that doesn't mean the conversation hasn't happened. And the best conversation, honestly, like the best conversation that I've heard in a while was a conversation that I just had with Buster Olney of ESPN. Buster Olney, a longtime national baseball reporter, always great to talk to, always enjoy our conversations. So I felt like he was a great guy to get to sort of chop it up with heading into the winter meetings, where we're at. And you're going to want to listen to it because he had some really, really, really interesting stuff when it came to Aaron Judge and how Aaron Judge is going to affect everybody else, the entire market. Oh, a lot of good stuff coming up. All right. Well, listen again. Rate, review, listen, subscribe. You know the deal. And we're getting a lot of good stuff coming up. I want to thank everybody who's come on recently. Thanks to Brett Phillips, man. That was a good way to start a day. If you ever go back and listen to the Brett Phillips interview Coop and I did with Brett Phillips, that is just simply a great way to start the day. Hit the play button and just sit back and just enjoy the great game of baseball and where it's at right now through the eyes of a guy who loves it probably more than anybody I've ever seen. So that's just a small sample of one of the things that you can do for Baseball Isn't Boring. If you have ideas, if you have things that you want us to talk about, if you have people that you want us to interview, send them along @BB Isn't Boring, Twitter, Instagram, the works. All right, but today It's Buster Olney.
All right, well, baseball isn't boring, and one of the people who have, for many, many years, has made that the case is Buster Olney. Always enjoy my conversations with Buster. A lot of great national writers out there, but there's nobody better than Buster. And Buster, there's no better time to catch up with you. I mean, really, that's any time, let's be honest. Like, we had a great conversation. I think it was in July. We had a great conversation for another podcast, and I saw you at the World Series. It was awesome seeing you there. But now we're in the thick of it, Buster. Here we go. Right?
I know. That's exactly right. And once you get into it, and you know all the dominoes that are going to fall, and all the pressure points with the various teams, and you know all the big names that are involved, it really is a great free agent class. And it's why I think, you know, in talking with general managers and talking with agents, they think that in the next 2 weeks there's going to be a lot of big moves made.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. That the winter meetings, a lot of times, winter meetings, especially the last few years, or not, I mean, going back 3 years even, the winter meetings were sort of a dud. They used to have press conferences all over the place, and I feel like it might come back to that a little bit. You said dominoes, and when Jose Abreu signed, that was the catchphrase, the domino. When the relievers sign, catchphrase, domino, do you actually feel that there has been the ultimate domino? Or is it just a matter of all these guys are pretty much going to wait till later this week or next week? That's what they're targeting, and then they'll sign.
I think it just depends on the position, right? Part of the reason why left-handed hitters went off the board first, you know, Anthony Rizzo, the Jock Peterson getting the shocking qualifying offer from the Giants, was because the perception was that the group of left-handed hitters was as thin as any group that's in the marketplace. And of course, because of the rule changes for next year, you know, the perceived value of left-handed hitters has gone up this offseason, because the feeling is that with the rules against defensive shifts, so you're going to see production from left-handed hitters increase. So, and then with the relief market, you're seeing some of the bigger names come off the board. You know, teams like the Padres, the Astros wanting to retain their own guys. I do think that the biggest overall domino, I guess quite literally, is Aaron Judge at 6'7", 282 pounds, because I think, you know, once he makes his decision, that's going to dictate, what the Yankees are going to do, which might affect what happens with the Red Sox, which might affect what happens with the Phillies. And so I think that the Judge decision probably is going to send the biggest ripples around, because it's going to go right from Judge to the shortstop market, and then the shortstop market into other markets. As some of these big market teams that we think are in the shortstop market have to make their adjustments.
So along those lines, they say Judge doesn't sign with the Yankees. He is wooed by Steph Curry and the San Francisco Giants, or something along those lines, right? I mean, like, this is a whole nother. By the way, Buster, we had a great conversation about the art of recruiting, or is recruiting even worth it? Because Joe, our good friend Joe Kelly was on, and he was like, it's outdated, it doesn't matter, so forth and so on. But I still like the Steph Curry calls. I still like that. But I don't want to get off track here. If Aaron Judge does not sign with the Yankees, what do you think their targets are? Like, you talked about the domino effect. What do you think happens?
Yeah, and I wrote a piece for ESPN.com. I think it's coming out later this week, about the perception of agents, is that you will see the Yankees already have a built-in plan B, much in the same way that last spring, when the Atlanta Braves negotiations with Freddie Freeman fell apart, they pivoted immediately. Within 48 hours, not only did they finish a blockbuster deal for Matt Olson, but they signed him to an 8-year contract. And the perception of teams is that that's what you'll see the Yankees do, that if they get word that Judge is going to sign elsewhere. And let me tell you, there is a lot of tension within the Yankee organization, and you and I can revisit this if you want, because this is literally the first player I think the Yankees have ever been involved with who actually they need more than the player needs, than the team needs the player. It's an unusual situation for them, but if they don't get Judge, the perception is they're going to immediately pivot, and I don't think there's any doubt that that'll be to the shortstop market, And the two guys who might fit the best in the shortstop market for the Yankees, Trey Turner, unbelievable athlete. You know, the perception is he's going to leave the Yankees and or leave the Dodgers in part because he'd prefer to play in the East Coast. You know, he's a guy, as these rules about pickoff throws change, he becomes even more dangerous on the bases. You know, he could play shortstop in 2023, and then their top prospect, Anthony Volpe, eventually maybe he ascends into that spot. Maybe Oswald Peraza moves into that spot. But I think that, you know, Turner's going to be super expensive. On the other hand, I think another guy who potentially fits for them is Xander Bogaerts, because he's proven in a big market. He has a guy who's a, you know, he's a, as you know, terrific professional hitter. He could hold down the position for 1 year. He could then move to another spot as Volpe, as Peraza graduate into the major leagues at shortstop. And, you know, he has checked every box for what they've been veering toward the last few years. More contact, you know, guy who can put the ball in play, terrific leadership, great clubhouse guy. So I think those two guys are probably the best fits, because they look at Carlos Correa. He's more of a pure shortstop. I think the Twins are going to pay big money to try to keep him. Dansby Swanson, again, more of a pure shortstop. I think the versatility of Bogaerts and Turner make them more attractive for the Yankees. And I think that, you know, Bogaerts, because he's going to be less expensive than Turner, it wouldn't shock me. If they don't sign Judge, I think he becomes their number one target.
Wow. All right. I mean, that's. Do you think that that is... Is that something that, as this has sort of it has evolved? Like, I think that Buster, the consensus was, oh, Judge is going to go back to the Yankees. But now when you do have the images of him in the San Francisco airport, it does make you remind you that this is a whole new world. You let a guy get to free agency, it's a whole new world. Do you think that this was the Yankees' plan all along? That this was, or did you think that they really, really, really thought that Judge was coming, that they were going to get a deal done with Judge by this time this year?
I think they, at heart, they don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because they drafted him in 2013. They've seen him, you know, develop through the minor leagues. They've had him in the big leagues. He's a great clubhouse leader. He has tremendous grace. And as people within the organization have told me, we don't really know what he wants, because when he turned down that $213.5 million offer in the spring, it wasn't no, I don't want that offer, here's the counter offer. It was just no. And he immediately tabled the talks at that point. And so as the Yankees went through the summertime, and they got this sense through the arbitration stuff that happened mid-season as well, they don't know if he really wants to go back to San Francisco. They don't know if he's looking for the biggest dollar figure, because let's face it, you know, there's a real chance that another team is going to make a bigger offer than the Yankees. They offered him $213.5 million over 7 years, which would have made a Judge the second highest paid outfielder behind Mike Trout, who was a much higher, actually, in annual average salary than Betts, than Harper, than Stanton. And that wasn't good enough. Which is totally Judge's prerogative, but now he's put himself in a position where he has better leverage. Agents are telling me, you know, based on their history of working with Brian Cashman, they don't think he's going to veer much from his evaluation. They've increased their offer, but it might be that, and I'm pulling a number out of the air, let's say that Hal Steinbrenner nudges that offer to 280 or 260, or maybe it's 300. There is an opportunity there for an inspired owner, an inspired organization like the Giants, to come in and put 360 on the board. And then we're going to find out what Aaron Judge wants. Does he want the money? Does he want to go back home? Does he want to be the next Derek Jeter and be the captain of the Yankees? Which is why I think there's real doubt and real tension within the Yankees organization about how this is going to play out. You know, look, what you said, the general feeling that Judge is going to go back, that view is shared by a lot of executives with other teams. I think within the Yankees organization, there's more doubt and there's less knowledge about what he really wants.
You talk about, you know, the teams, you know, like the Giants, who are feeling pretty good about spending money and feeling pretty good about making some moves. It feels like, and there's always a team that's out there that it's sort of going to drive the bus, or one or two. It feels like there's a lot of teams like that, and in different ways too, Buster. I mean, you look at the Dodgers, right? All right, they'll pay the money, but it's going to be shorter-term deal. But still, they can do that, and they can get a big-name player. You look at the Padres. When you hear the Padres are in on, you know, Jose Abreu and Xander Bogaerts, you're like, what? Well, it's the Padres. That's how they've been for the last few years. Seattle's making all these moves. The Blue Jays need an outfielder. The Yankees are sitting there, all the things that you said. The Red Sox have a ton of money, and we don't know how they're going to spend it or if they're going to spend it. It seems like this is the ultimate opportunity for a lot of free agents to make some money.
There's no doubt about it. You know, the Dodgers, with their flexibility, with how strong their organization and their franchise is, you know, they can signal, as they already have, that, yeah, we could be on Aaron Judge. I personally think they're just trying to push the Giants and the Yankees, but they can do that. I do think Verlander, if I'm sitting here today and I'm handicapping it, I think that's where Verlander winds up going. Much in the same way that they gave Trevor Bauer a short-term deal where they're paying a lot of money, I think that's what they're going to do with Verlander. You're right about the Padres. Their owner, Peter Seidler, has become, you know, the modern-day Mike Ilitch, where he's not worried about how much profitability his franchise has. He's just trying to win a championship, which meant that they went out and traded for Juan Soto. They signed Manny Machado. You know, they're making a lot of moves. They re-signed Joe Musgrove. They're doing a lot of things the Padres used to never think about doing. The Phillies are going to be aggressive. The Braves have the ability to be aggressive. The Rangers have the ability to be aggressive. Toronto is in its window to try to win. They desperately need a left-handed hitter. If they, you know, didn't wind up with either Benintendi or Nimmo, I would be surprised. I could see them going out and spending heavy on a left-handed hitter. So, yeah, there's a lot of competition for a lot of these free agents. You know, if you're and let's face it, we're the fact that we're in the first year of a 5-year labor deal also adds to the cost certainty for a lot of these teams, and they might be more aggressive this winter.
You know, I tweeted out yesterday about it really was stemming off the Abreu thing because it sort of drove me nuts, Buster. It drives me nuts when I hear of course you aren't going to do that deal. Well, I get that. I understand that. And obviously, a lot of these people, it was coming from, I'm talking about the Abreu 3 years at $60 million. It was coming from the Red Sox. I know the Guardians were interested. But that's fine. I mean, that's your prerogative. And if you, the rule of thumb is that don't do a deal if it prevents you from doing another deal. But some of these teams, they can do a lot of deals and they can spend a lot of money. My point is, and I think that you agree with this, is that let's stop pretending like you can try to build a team in free agency and get players on your terms. I'm talking about the elite players, the big name players, the players that are foundational players. Just stop pretending that you're going to set, this is what this guy is worth and we're not going over it. You're always going to have to go over it. And that's the thing that drives me nuts. I mean, do you think teams like the majority of teams understand that? Or do you think the story new wave of GMs are setting things saying, hey, we're not going over that?
I think it's just a mix depending upon the player, but I think generally speaking that a lot of these teams have to be at peace with the idea that if they want to sign an elite player to a long-term deal, they're going to have to freaking pay.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like the Red Sox have either gotten done at peace with that or figured that out, because the idea that you're going to go kind of bargain shopping, you know, at the top of the food chain when it comes to players, that's just not going to happen. And you know, if I were to have a conversation with a head of baseball operations with that mentality, I'd point him back to what, Branch Rickey, Buzzy Bivese with the Dodgers used to say back in the 50s, which was, I don't mind overpaying a star-level player. I do mind overpaying a mediocre guy. Mm-hmm. So you can't go and sort of try to nickel and dime, you know, and shave around the edge on a Rafael Devers, a Xander Bogaerts, and Mookie Betts. If you want that type of player, you better bring your checkbook.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not. And here's the other thing too, is that, and I do think this is becoming a factor because all the players are talking about. Guess what? They have options. Like Xander Bogaerts probably has, you know, the Dodgers involved. He probably has the Padres involved. I mentioned the Yankees. I do think if Judge leaves, he could potentially be their number one target. He's going to have options. And as these players leave the Red Sox and the conversation, you know, continues to go in this cycle of you know, the fact that, you know, they're regressing, they're not paying their top guys. Why would they get Bogaerts that 1 year extension offer in the spring? I think the narrative really begins to be established among the elite guys. And guess what? Those guys have other teams they can go to.
Yeah.
So somehow, some way, and you and I, when we talked back, you know, what was it, August or,
right.
or July,
yeah.
we talked about how they're going to have to pay at some point a Mookie Betts tax, you know, a Xander Bogaerts tax, a Rafael Devers tax. Every one of these guys that they don't hang on to is going to feed this perception, not only among, you know, media knuckleheads like you and me, but among players. And that becomes costly, I think, to the organization. They somehow have to reverse the cycle, and there's only one way to do it, and that's to jump in there and win one of these bidding wars.
Yeah, and you know, what's fascinating to me is the guy who used to be in Boston, which is Dave Dombrowski, who is the epitome of this, right? I mean, we have plenty of examples of, hey, he sees a guy, you know what, I'm going to pay more. And going back to David Price, $217 million. You know, by some accounts, $40 million more than the next team. Kyle Schwarber, a year ago, well, doubles up the Red Sox offer. And so this is a guy who sort of, to your point, and I love that quote from Branch Rickey, like it speaks so much to what you're talking about the premier players. You're just going to have to pay more. And you know what? If you're not going to build a team that way, then you trade. And maybe they will. Maybe these teams will trade. But when you say, this is the problem, I'm going to make this Boston-centric for a second, but when you say that Xander Bogaerts is your plan A, which I thought right now was an enormous misstep, when you say that he's your plan A, then he has to be your plan A. He has to be basically the guy that you're going to do exactly what you're doing, which is, what is your best offer, and we're going to make it better. That's it.
Yep. No, I agree. I personally would do that with Devers. I would do what it took just because you're talking about a player is what, 4 years younger. To me, that's the guy that you go to and say, what's it going to take? And just get it done. And you're not going to be comfortable with that. You know, I love, and this is not, you know, what Billy Beane told me years ago about making trades, I thought was really instructive. You know, he, when other teams would call about, you know, Mark Mulder, Tim Hudson, you know, the elite guys on his roster, what he would say to the other GM is, you know what, you can keep, you know, prospect A if you want, but the trade's going to hurt after that.
Mm-hmm.
It has to,
yeah.
Right? And so when you're talking about signing an elite free agent, guess what? If you sign a Rafael Devers, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Because his value seems to be going up, you know, day by day by day. I had this conversation with a front office person recently, and we agreed that the guy right now has got more leverage than any other player in baseball is Aaron Judge because of the year that he had, because of the situation the Yankees are in, you know, the fans clamoring. And we also both agreed that the player with the second most amount of leverage in baseball right now is Rafael Devers.
Yeah, you know, in both cases, you look at it and you hear, oh, well, they're this far apart or this, they're that far apart. There's no more of that. Like if I'm Rafael Devers and I'm off and I'm asking for 10 years, 300, which by the way is a Machado contract. So why not? And so if I'm asking for that and they say, no, okay, we'll come up to 220. Okay, we'll come up to 240. He should just be sitting there saying, no, I'm not moving. You don't understand. Same thing with Judge. I'm not moving. There's no reason for these guys to move off of what they're doing. They have all the leverage in the world. And that's the price of, it comes back to what you're saying. That's the price of doing business when it comes to free agency. I mean, I think this is, it's going to be awesome, man. It's going to be crazy because they're, you just rattled off all the teams. And I'm glad you mentioned the Rangers, because the Rangers are specifically looking for rotation, top of the rotation help. They are specific, and agents know that. So they're like, okay, I got a top of the rotation guy. I'm going to the Rangers. That's what we heard about DeGrom, right? DeGrom is interested in going to the Rangers. Yeah. You know why? Because they'll pay. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with your friend Joe Kelly. A lot of this stuff, you know, I got a note from a friend, you know, after Anthony Rizzo signed, and you know, he said, so this helps their chances for the Yankees re-signing Judge. I'm like, yeah, no. You know? I mean, let's face it, and I don't mean this at all as a criticism of Aaron Judge. He's put himself in a great position. He can listen to all these offers. He's going to get a huge number, and he can choose wherever he wants to choose. It's totally his prerogative. But 99.9% of the time, it comes down to money.
Yeah,
and that's you know, that's where we are. And so, you know, the recruiting, you know, the wooing, the flowers to the, you know, to the wife, to the sweetheart, they don't make a difference. It feels like they just do that now because everyone is in the habit of doing it.
Yeah, and go back and listen to Joe. Joe's brought up Krzyzewski and, you know, and Nick Saban, and he's like, this isn't college. These are guys who are making a lot of money, but it's going to be great. And Buster, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to talking. I look forward to reading you all your stories, including the one that you just mentioned coming out pretty soon here. So thanks so much, Buster.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Rob. Good to talk with you as always.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.